Today's scripture reading is 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13 to 25. 2 Kings chapter 3, 13 to 25. And the title is Dig Many Trenches in This Valley, Part 2. Dig Many Trenches in This Valley, Part 2. I'd like to read the 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 13 to 25. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What do I have to do with you? Go to the prophet of your father and to the prophet of your mother." And the king of Israel said to him, "No, for the Lord has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab." And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of the Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. But now bring me a minstrel." And it came about when the minstrel prayed that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. For thus said the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with the water, so that you shall drink, both you and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a slight thing in the sight of the Lord. He shall also give the Moabite into your hand. Then you shall strike every 45 city and every choice of city, and fell every good trees and stop all springs of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it happened in the morning about the time of the offering the sacrifice, that behold, the water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now all the Moabites heard that the kings had come to the fight against them, and all who were able to put on the armor, and all the were summoned and stood on the border. And they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water, and the Moabites saw the water opposite them as red as blood. Then they said, This is the blood. The kings have surely fought together, and they have slain one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil." But when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites, so that they fled before them. And they went forward into the land, slaughtering in the Moabite. Thus they destroyed the cities, and each one threw a stone on every piece of good land and filled it. So they stopped all the springs of water and felled all the good trees until in the Kir-Hadas. Only they left these stones. However, the singers were about it, and struck it. This is the word of God. Last time, we saw how the kings of the northern king of Israel, Judah, and Edom, who had formed an alliance for their own interest without consulting God, ran out the water in the wilderness of Edom while marching to attack the king of Moab. Their soldiers and livestock were left without water, facing a desperate situation. We saw that the king Jehoshaphat, though, is belatedly sold out God's man. Through Elisha, they received not only a way to survive, but also God answered the promising victory in battles. Elisha sought the summon to pray the harp to inquire of God. The harp was not merely an instrument, but God's instrument, the key to unlocking his mysteries. It speaks of the Holy Spirit's inspirations. Only the Holy Spirit can lead us into the deep things of God and grant us understanding. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, I let it read for you. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among the men knows the thought of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thought of the God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Amen. Elisha is having received the anointing of the Holy Spirit and penetrated to the depths of God's heart, give a command. So is the 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 16, Elisha said, "Thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches." We remember when the Moses struck the log at the river in the wilderness and the water flowed. And at that time, God commanded Moses to strike the log to bring forth waters. You can see the Exodus chapter 17 verse 6. So why did God command the three kings to go down into the valley and dig trenches? The key to solving the problem to begin with the digging ditches in the valley. A valley is a place where large and small stones roll down from the mountains and where all kinds of trees sink their roots deep following the moistures. To the three kings who were puzzled and doubt about God's command, Elisha said, and according to the 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 17, and so thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with the waters. It is a natural law and the common sense that for the rain to fall, wind must gather clouds and bring down the rain. Yet God works history beyond our praises and thought. He is the one who commands the log with his word, causing water to gush forth without rain. I told you already, it's Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, you shall strike the log and the water come out of it that the people may drink. He is the one who brings forth rivers in the desert. You can find that at the Isaiah chapter 43, verse 20. Because I have given waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give the drink to my chosen peoples. He is the one who strikes the rivers to turn them into the desert too. You can find that at Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 10. And he is the one who split the sea with the blast of wind. You can find that also Exodus 15, verse 8. Yet today, God teaches the three kings the foundation of faith. In truth, for rain to fall in Palestine, the wind must accompany it. Open storms accompany it. Yet here, water filled the hollows dug in the valley without rain or wind. Let's look at the Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith becomes the substance that guarantees the things we hope for will actually and certainly come to pass. Faith is what gives us complete assurance about the future event and the spiritual matters. Thus, God's will cannot be known through our human sense. The Jesus said, according to the John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Faith teaches us that God is not someone we believed in only after fully understanding him, but someone whose every word we receive and accept by faith. Thus, God is alive and active even now, though we may not perceive it intervening in each of our lives. Do not think about it. we are simply to accept it with an amen. Do not doubt or hesitate in the believing in a God who is able to do all things. Spiritually, the belly symbolizes the fallen human heart. Adam was originally created in God's image, standing tall among many mountains on the highest mountains, God's mountain, the Garden of Eden, Mount Zion. Let's look at the Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 9. It described that about the fall of the human being. I made it beautiful with the multitude of these branches and all the trees of Eden, which were in the Garden of God, were jealous of it. But its heart became proud because of its beauty, and it fell into the valley the Lord praised. According to the Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 12, and the allied tribes of the nations have cut it down and left it on the mountains, and in all the valleys its branches have fallen. Satan's work is to make us to fall from our face. Did he not tempt Jesus to throw himself down from the temple? Let's look at the Matthew chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. You many still do not realize they have fallen into the valley. They must descend into the valley now." Why did John the Baptist baptize in the Jordan River? Geographically, the one must clearly descend into the valley where the Jordan flows. But Jordan comes from the Hebrew Yarad, meaning to go down to fall. Geographically, the Jordan River also flowed through the lowest point on earth. It is those who recognize themselves as sinners, who humble themselves and become lowly, who receive baptism. We must descend into the valley of Achor. The valley of Achor is the place where the Achan was executed and buried for the disobeying the command not to take the spoils of Jericho. You can see the Joshua chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. Achor in Hebrew is a turmoil, confusion, affliction, and disasters. We must descend into Achor, the scene of our fall. We have uncommitted the sin Achor committed. We reject God's command, trust in ourselves more, and try to handle everything by our own reasoning. But when we see ourselves in this valley, repent and meet God there, He transformed the cursed valley of Achor, marked by sin and judgment, into gate of hope. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. I like to read, "Then I will give her vineyard from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope, and she will sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt." Amen. Before digging the ditch, we must first remove with our hands all the elements, large stones and small stones, that seek to undermine our faith. The problem is that before the spring in the perch, the valley of Eden burst forth. It is essential first to know and remove what my problem is, so that the spring of the Holy Spirit may burst forth in the heart of Israel and in my own heart. The root of every problem is me. Even after hearing the word countless times, I must plow up my hardened soil that refused to change. I must remove the stone that prevent the words loose from taking hold, the freshly desire within my heart that caused me to betray and stumble during trials. Do not say that the world won't change, or that my husband or children won't change. I must change for the world to change. Do not call it a crisis of the world. If each individual family is happy, the whole land will become stable. Tualatin, Tualatin, he is the very famous German political theologian, prayed in his youth. For a long time he prayed, God make me a great person who changed the world. But he couldn't change the world. So at age 40, he changed his prayer, God, change me. He began to transforming even the smallest thing in his life that pleased God. He started by changing his tones of voice and facial expressions. As his life changed, he naturally began to influence those around him. He told his disciples, I should have changed my prayer sooner. Remember this, only after I change first can I grow into someone who transforms others. We too must change ourselves first, no matter how difficult it is, by holding fast only to God's word, allowing myself to be transformed by it and overcoming obstacles, we can see God's glory. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said, Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Amen. They began digging, following God's word through it was hard. Each began digging according to their faith. Those with greater faith dug diligently, deeply, and abundantly. May you experience the Lord's grace, the filling you beyond what you have done. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 5, verse 20. And the Lord came in that the transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Amen. I give you another one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or seek, according to the power that works within us. Amen. It was precisely in that place that God began to fill it with water. Hallelujah. Let's look at the 2 Kings chapter 3, 20. And it happened in the morning about the time of offering the sacrifice that behold, water came by the way of Edom and the country was filled with water. Is not God's work truly mysterious? Yes. According to the Job chapter 11, verse 7, can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? We must learn to entrust everything to God, not grow impatient with his work, nor complain that it is not being done, but wait quietly in faith. Amen. I give you the scriptures. Psalm chapter 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in this way, because of the man who carried out the wicked schemes. I give you another one. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God only. Wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. Amen. God works like the wind. In the morning, water flows from the land of Edom and the field, never with a noise. Even when no one sees, slightly and silently and faithfully, at the price you have done, become a blessed garden watered by God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Please write down the Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. I'd like to read for you Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. And the Lord will continually guide you, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Amen. Beloved saints, were we not all originally in the valley of despair? Yet we must believe that God walks with us. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 23, verse 4. We are not alone. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Amen. Already the third week of 2026 is passing. Is my faith alive and active at this very moment? Am I honestly offering the honest prayer God desires each day? Is a gratitude for all the grace and the love God has bestowed overflowing from our lips and lives? If not, it is proof we have not yet dug the ditch of repentance deep within our heart. Digging the trenches is not a one-time task. If we neglect it and grow lazy, soil and the stones will keep flowing down from above, filling the ditch and allowing weed to grow, preventing water from pooling. When we repent and our hearts are transformed to move forward, God pours out the righteousness upon us like rain into the place where freshly sowed have departed. Let's look at the Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. So with a view of to righteousness, leap on accordance with the kindness, the break of your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Amen. Though neither wind nor rain and calm, God sent his quiet love. When the morning sacrifice of thanksgiving was offered to God, he filled the brook with water. The morning sun shone upon the surface of the water, and from Moab's perspective, it appeared the color of blood, luring them in. It was the same water to Israel. It was cool, refreshing water, quenching their thirst, the water of life. But to the Moabite, it was called to blood, demanding their own blood. Seeing the blood red colors, the Moabite thought the civil strife had broken out among the allied force of Israel. They rushed in and were utterly destroyed there. This speaks to the dual nature of the cross. For those who believe in the blood of the cross becomes glory. But for those who do not believe, inevitably becomes the path to destruction. According to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Doing the way of the cross righteously leads to the path of eternal life and prosperity, but viewing it is wickedly leads to destruction. The Moabites, having misunderstood the message of the cross, become a sign of those who perish. May this year be one where we receive and enjoy all the blessing, power, and favor God gives by faithfully deepening the value of repentance, the value of faith, and the value of prayer. May the porch, the valley of Eden, the valley of Achor filled with curse and sufferings, become the valley of Bragas, a valley of the praise where we offer is a thanksgiving, praise, and glory to singing His word or saint belonging to our love for church. Amen. Let's read together and we're finished. Please open your Bible, the 2 Chronicle chapter 20, verse 25. 2 Chronicle chapter 20, verse 25. We read together. Then on the first day they assembled in the valleys of Barakas, for there they blessed the Lord, therefore they have named their place the valley of Baraka until today. Amen. Let us pray together. We give thanks to today's word had led us to deeply reflect not only on ourselves individually, but also on whether our love for church has been the faithful and a source of joy before the fathers. Are we not starting this year 2026 habitually, just as we did the previous New Year's? Shouldn't our faith life overflow with joy and gratitude? Yet are our heart merely indifferent? Help us realize it precisely because we have not turned our heart over. Help us understand once more this truth. If we only dig a well of repentance, prayer, and word in our heart by faith, the Father will fill it with all His blessings, fairness, justice, and victorious work. May we once more lift the spiritual pros to break up our hardened soil, so that God's righteousness may fill us completely and our entire lives may overflow with hope, thanksgiving to God, and the songs of praise, giving Him glory. May we daily examine whether Jesus lives and works within our heart, working with us. May we all become those who listen attentively and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, who convicts our heart of sin and urges us to learn the race the Father desires. Therefore, may we all become those who receive and enjoy every blessing the Father pours out upon each of us and upon the church, and as He opens the heavenly gate. We pray this is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.